Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Sean Quigley's here, too. Sean is a financial planner. He is a life underwriter. It's the LUTCF. Sean, what, remind me what that stands for.
Life Underwriters Training Fellows is what it is.
That's what they did. The training fellow thing threw me off. I'm familiar with LUTC. Anyway, right. Sean Quigley, ladies and gentlemen, is also the author of a book I wanted you to know about, The Cash Play, Capitalizing on the Opportunity Value of Cash. Sean, welcome back. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. Sean has quite a few other credentials, but we have it's only an hour show, Sean, so I have to move on. Congratulations on your success in helping people with their finances as a financial planner. One of the things as my audience knows, Sean, we talk about cash quite often on this show. I never wander off very far away from any topic without bringing cash into the subject. We've talked about it yesterday with another expert. Cash, in my opinion, Sean, cash is no longer king on Main Street. It's the emperor, and I promoted it. But talk to us, because your approach is a little bit different, and your approach is not just for business. You take a holistic approach to managing cash, don't you?
Yes, I do, Jim. And you know, so many of us in our generation. You know, I'm 54, but we grew up. We paid cash for everything.
Yep.
We grew up in a high interest rate environment, and we wanted to pay down any kind of debt.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a slow boil to where, you know, mortgage rates in 1981 were 18.63.
Right.
You know, and here we came down from 17, 16, 15, 14, you know, all the way down to 4% in lower times. And, you know, in the book I talk about being intentionally liquid, you know, even brazenly liquid,
mm-hmm.
Especially during these turbulent times. But really, it doesn't really matter what times it is when you're trying to run a business and even the business of your household, just handling your bills. Our tendency is to get rid of all cash as quickly as possible, put it into a qualified plan where you don't have access till 59.5, and put it in your home, where now there's no gain on equity. You know, that's not an investment. That's an expense. So, you know, the importance of having cash available when turbulent times happen is very important. You know, think about in 2002, 2008, and even these last couple months, who were the big winners? Those that had the cash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those that had at least a portion of their money. I'm not saying have all of it in cash, but you know, you should try to be fundamentally sound in your investments and make sure that you have different buckets of money, but in particular have a nice bucket of money that has cash available to seize opportunity and get you through those tough times.
When you talk about being liquid, of course, we know that what you mean is by having enough cash available to have either cash available or the cash equivalent available, which includes credit, to be able to handle emergencies or take care of the daily operation of your life and your business. But how do you get liquid? I think that's something that maybe you should start with.
Well, it depends where you are right now, but you can gradually put yourself in a liquid state. You can't just overnight cash out of everything, so you got to be careful and do and make sure you transition into it,
right.
And also not trigger a tax event. So, you know, I give this example to this will be a young college student, but but I also do it with the elderly, the, or not elderly, but those going into retirement even. Mm-hmm. Making
yeah,
sure
be,
you have,
be careful there, Sean.
Yeah, I know. Here, I'm right there. I'm right on the edge. But the so I give this example. I just gave a talk at the University of Nebraska College of Dentistry. Every year I go in and speak to those college students, and they're a lively group. They're pretty amazing. But this year I went in there and I said, you know, we had so much fun last year. I decided I wanted to give you a graduation gift, and I'm going to hand each of you $500,000 of cash. And it's yours. It's a gift from me to you. I want you to keep that. And imagine it sitting on the desk in front of you. And it's, what would you do with that money if you had it right now? And you can imagine the first one yelled out, I'm going to pay down my $250,000 in student loan. You know, and most of them pay for it themselves. You know, their parents don't pay for their the upper level college funding. And then another one yelled out, I'm going to pay cash for a new home here in Nebraska. $250,000 will still buy a nice home. Mm-hmm. And I said, hold on a minute, time out. You know, 10 minutes ago when I walked in the room, you were coming up to me telling me how, you know, you didn't have any money, you're living on top ramen, going through college, uh-huh. and how are you going to start a business when you come out of college? How are you going to start a dental practice or even buy into a dental practice? And I come in here and I hand you $500,000.
First thing you're going to spend it.
Yeah.
Write a check. You get rid of it. Just give it to somebody else.
Yeah. You had that sense of relief that, oh, I have mm-hmm. game now. I've got cash.
Mm-hmm.
And you spent it in 5 minutes, and now you're back to living on top ramen. And we see this a lot. And I said to them, okay, that tells me what you would do as soon as you start having cash in your business is you're mm-hmm. going to get rid of it. You're mm-hmm. going to pay down all debt. Well, wouldn't it be better to, you know, just pay down your student loans according to the repayment schedule, to pay them down gradually, get a 30-year mortgage at these near historic low mortgage rate.
Right, so lock it
in. Take that to your grave, even.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're liquid with a still you have a nice pile of cash, so you can go into a dental practice and say, I want to buy into this dental practice,
mm-hmm.
or I'm going to.
It's all about the return, isn't it, Sean? Because if you can earn 12%, 15% of your money by buying into a dental practice or in a small business with that money, that's better than buying a house for cash, where you would pay you only gain 4%.
Right. Well, and really, there's no gain on equity.
Right.
You know.
Hold on to that thought, Sean. The book is called The Cash Play. We're going to get more into the definition of the cash play with Sean Quigley after these messages. Sean, your book's available wherever books are sold, especially Amazon, I'm sure.
Well, www.thecashplay.com.
All right, thecashplay.com.
Get it right now.
Check it out. Quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.